start, can I just say that Izzy's veins, his arm veins, are a little intimidating right now. I shouldn't be able to see them this clearly.
Yeah, can we like turn down the HD or something? Because I also feel a little bit intimidated by how muscular Izzy is.
Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Israel Gutierrez. That's Mina Kimes. That's Pablo Torre. I actually went into my study today because I was intimidated by them and their intelligence. But that's why I broke out the guns. Let's do a show.
Should the 76ers feel good after almost choking against the shorthanded Nets?
So the Brooklyn Nets lost last night to the 76ers, and the dude who looks like a jump-shooting Shaquille O'Neal, but that came without Kevin Durant, came without James Harden, and the bigger loss actually came today when LaMarcus Aldridge announced he's retiring from the game because of an irregular heartbeat. Aldridge is a seven-time All-Star. He missed time with what was called a minor heart arrhythmia with the Spurs in 2017, had a bit of a heart issue his entire career, seriously, but nothing this serious that made him make this type of career decision. Now, to get to the basketball stuff, he only played in five games for the Nets, and despite probably being their fourth best offensive option, he's considered a defensive liability and would have been throughout their title run. And the last time we saw him, he was getting eaten up by Andre Drummond, so that's just confirmation of that. But it's still a loss for the Nets, whose interior is going to be their weakness, whether they had LaMarcus or not. But now to the human side of this, with all that we have to worry about with COVID and everything else, and all the stresses that seem like they're sort of greater than ever, news like this has kind of reminded you that there's serious concerns all over the place that can impact us. And thank goodness it was treated properly. And thank goodness he took this seriously and decided to just call it a career rather than go through this championship run. But it'd still be something, something that we should point out, and a serious loss for the league. But this does continue to be one of the most intriguing NBA seasons so far. And this is before we get to the playoffs. So not sure what you're going to do with this, Pablo, but the Nets without LaMarcus Aldridge lost to your boys.
Well, first off, I want to congratulate LaMarcus Aldridge on a career 15 years in the league, a seven-time All-Star. He owned the left block like no other player of his generation. He was great at the mid-range. All of that is so. It is also so that he was associated with the Brooklyn Nets for about as long as Mina Kimes. So let's get to the actual game last night, because wow. I watched the 76ers once again, just be the best team in the Eastern Conference. And you could talk about how they didn't have James Harden or Kevin Durant. I would argue that maybe those guys were some mixture of load managing and just terrified. But the reality of this question, did they choke? No, they did not choke. They just got ahead so much that they stopped caring about the game so much, which I think, again, Mina and the Nets can appreciate, because their players, their best ones, didn't even care enough about the game to show up.
They put their starters back in the game, Pablo, because they almost lost to the Nets big one. It was only Kyrie Irving, despite the fact that the Nets went 4-for-21 from three. So my big takeaway from this game is the 76ers are better than Kyrie Irving. Congratulations. Wow. Now, I will concede that this is meaningful for the playoffs, because it makes it much more likely that Philadelphia will get the number one seed, will avoid the better teams in the East, and get to play at home where they're significantly better. But beyond that, they get zero credit for beating Kyrie.
But Izzy, did you notice what happened towards the end of that game as the Nets made their comeback? Because it may be so that the Sixers are better than Kyrie Irving, but the way the Nets played without Kyrie Irving should raise a parallel question for them. Because Mina, that comeback they made that forced, yes, Joel Embiid back onto the floor to be the hero we all know him to be, they did that without Kyrie, and I just think there are questions that people are asking. I've heard people ask those questions in places around the league. Wait a minute.
What's going on here?
Why are they so good without Kyrie? I just heard it.
Literally, no one said that. You just made that up. No people are asking that. No one said that. There's no one else in your house right now.
I believe I am.
Many, many, many people are saying this, Mina. I've heard it myself. And here's the thing. Look, this is why all the games are important for your team, Mina, is because we don't know what they are when they're complete. The Sixers have this weird situation, right? They're no longer the team that, hey, can they turn it on when the lights are on? They're now the team, like last night, oh, they turned it off. Look what the Nets did. Okay, let's turn it right back on. And so they look spectacular. They know how good they're going to be when they're whole. And when they didn't have their star, they just seemed to get better. Now they've got Joel Embiid and are probably going to be the best version that they've been all year long. So I don't know what the Nets are, but hey, congratulations, Mina. They're pretty good.
I'd like to address one additional piece of slander. I was a Nets fan a full month before LaMarcus Aldridge joined the team. A full month.
I practically got gray hair.
How should the Jaguars feel about Trevor Lawrence saying he doesn't need football?
So the probable number one pick, Trevor Lawrence, spoke to SI, and part of what he told them was this inflammatory sentence that said, I don't need this in my life to be okay. Wow. Can you believe that? And to be perfectly fair, and he added, I don't have this giant chip on my shoulder, which basically just sort of strips the cliches right out of the mouth of these announcers. And it immediately takes you to Josh Rosen in 2018, who was drafted 10th overall and is now 2021 on his fourth team, because it just makes you wonder, somebody that is socially well-adjusted, somebody that has outside interests, regardless of how good they are at football, might seem to sort of stray and not really be as good as he could possibly be. I used to think this was kind of nonsense, Mina, right? I think, okay, you should have balance in your life, especially as a 20, 21, 22-year-old who's growing up into adulthood. But really, and I had my own reasons for this, but I was hyper-focused when I was younger as well and ignored all kinds of other, anything else in my life, frankly, and it made me more successful professionally. Now, would I go back in a time machine and do everything the same way? No. But if you're Trevor Lawrence or if you're his NFL team, you're thinking, all right, we can deal with getting your socially adjusted self right in your 30s. Right now, just focus on football. I would say, hey, there may be a question mark about his long-term success in the NFL. And I know that sounds crazy. I feel crazy even saying it.
Wow. Izzy Gutierrez pulling the old man get off my lawn traditional GM card. I did not see this coming.
I know.
Look, I love it, first of all. So the thrust of the piece isn't that Trevor Lawrence doesn't love football. He says he loves football. It just doesn't define him. It's what he does, not who he is, which is a realization that most of us don't come to until, you know, we're in our 30s after copious amounts of therapy. And Trevor Lawrence knows it now. He also said, as Izzy mentioned, he doesn't have a chip on his shoulder. He didn't play the nobody believes in me card, which I also love because Trevor Lawrence is a 6'6" white dude who runs like a gazelle with a cannon attached to his arm. He was the number one recruit in the country. NFL GMs probably knew who he was when he was 14. Everybody believes in you. And he knows that. And I find it incredibly refreshing and self-aware. And I wonder if it might be part of a generational awakening, because ESPN also had an interview with Trey Lance, the other top prospect in the draft, another quarterback out of North Dakota State. And he said similar things. And I love this coming from the next generation of players.
Yeah, there's this whole, like, and I'm going to be really highfalutin here, appropriate to Izzy's background, but there is this Aristotelian idea, right? Aristotle once said, you are what you repeatedly do. And I think there is not just a generational, but just a healthier difference now with people who are beginning to realize we can actually divorce self from job. And I think the pandemic has kind of reinforced that, hopefully, for a lot of us, although that's getting super serious. And I mostly want to talk about the fact that Trevor Lawrence has this brother. Like, Trevor Lawrence, we all know, is amazing, and he's this centaur gazelle that Mina referenced, but he also has a brother who seems to have steered him in this direction. And if we have a photo of Chase Lawrence, please, it's worth investigating the influence on Trevor's life that clearly Chase has been. Because Chase, for those who are uninitiated, Chase looks like a guy who did a bunch of psychedelics and now talks about it very openly with his brother. And that's actually not, like, a hypothetical. He did all of that and admitted to it in Sports Illustrated. So I love this dude, even if it's only because he looks like Paul Dano.
Well, given how woke Trevor is, it's quite possible Chase slipped him a psychedelic a year or so ago, and now he's...
He really seems super present, yes.
Oh my God, he looks exactly like a cousin of mine who will go unnamed, who plays the didgeridoo professionally. I love everything about him. Everything.
You can get paid for playing that thing?
Wait a minute. What does going pro in didgeridoo? What does that look like?
It looks like Chase Lawrence. Chase Lawrence, he looks like the guy in college at the party who is in the corner playing guitar, but nobody saw him walk in with a guitar and nobody knows how he got it. Chase Lawrence, he looks like he thinks cover three just means playing three Beatles songs, four notes. I keep going.
Got like a
Up next on HQ.
I know that you want to be a good teammate. I also know that no-hitters don't really mean anything anymore. And if it meant my groin or my knee, I'm gonna go ahead and take my time to get there. I'm sorry, buddy.
Izzy, I'm with you, man. I feel like this is, I mean, it's, I feel so bad to say this because it's such an accomplishment, but we just had one last week.
Do you question if Luka was clutch or lucky?
Last time we heard from Luka, he was complaining about the play-in tournament that he might actually have to play in. Not if he wins games like this more often. Here he was against the Grizzlies last night, down two with just 1.8 seconds left. Oh, two defenders, no big deal. I mean, we talked about Jalen Suggs being a lucky shot in the NCAA tournament, and I'm like, no, that was a straight-up jump shot. It just happened to be from 38 feet away. This shot by Luka is luck, but come on, you know he's tried it like 20 times.
Well, that's the thing. Izzy, I have never seen a three-point floater in general, let alone one to win a game like that. I mean, just like Luka... Like, we talk about shot making as this cliche in the NBA. When I watch Luka, I kind of understand it. That is what creating your shot means. It means making it out of nothing against great defense and also doing it while, like, Luka has, like, his body type. Mina, like, you've interviewed Luka. Luka hasn't even begun to work out yet. Like, imagine how good he still could be. Like, this is what he's doing without really trying that hard.
We did share nachos at a Hard Rock Cafe, which is a... euphemism for what you're describing. The reason you know it's a lucky shot is you can take that video, pause it, and zoom in on every single person either on the floor or in the stands, and they look surprised. Like Dorian Finney-Smith, who is standing right in front of Luka, looks genuinely shocked when he turns around and sees that win. And so does Luka.
I didn't think the Grizzlies looked shocked, though. I didn't think the Grizzlies looked shocked. They were all just like, well, Jesus. Like, why this guy, right? The other one, but Pablo, you mentioned you've never seen a running or a floating three-pointer for a game winner. The first shot that came to mind was Dwayne Wade steal and runner of the This Is My House one, where he ended up with a three-point runner at the buzzer.
That's
but
right.
It wasn't between two defenders, and it wasn't a floater. I mean, the guy's just ridiculous.
And he's not actually even making, like, a great percentage of three-pointers. It's just that all the ones he seems to make are so unbelievably awesome that we forget about all the other ones he missed.
Do you question if Jose Abreu deserves more credit for Carlos Rodon's no-hitter than he does?
Well, Carlos Rodon threw a no-hitter, as the question spoiled for you. But in these no-hitters, we always know that they have at least one or two great plays that save it. Well, here was Abreu's chance to save Rodon's no-hitter.
That is a great play.
Ooh.
Man. Oh, he's tried to slide into first. They got beat by the toe tap.
This is close.
Wow. That has got a groin injury, maybe a hyperextended knee written all over it. That is not a position I would like to be in. Well, normally, guys, there's the big play that saves the no-hitter. This one in particular was even bigger.
Oh, he had a perfect game going.
A perfect game, right. And then he hit. There goes the perfect game, right?
That's who I want to be. I want to be the batter who just gets hit and ends up being a hero. That's the life I want to live.
I know that you want to be a good teammate. I also know that no-hitters don't really mean anything anymore. And if it meant my groin or my knee, I'm gonna go ahead and take my time to get there. I'm sorry, buddy.
Izzy, I'm with you, man. I feel like this is, I mean, it's, I feel so bad to say this because it's such an accomplishment, but we just had one last week. When I was a kid, like, this was rare. We've had, I believe, like, almost a dozen since 2018. No, but this is, Mina, it's just, it doesn't, like, that Jose Abreu play is notable. It's arguably more notable than the fact that a no-hitter happened.
Yes, you're right, because I know I get a news alert every time the no-hitter happens and I immediately swipe it away, which is the most 2021 way to diminish something. But I'll say this. When I see a play like that, my mind doesn't go to Carlos. It goes to Jose Abreu. And I think, God, how stressful would it be when I always relate to the infielder or the outfielder who is afraid of letting the pitcher down. And maybe that says a lot about me. I might be inadvertently revealing a little bit too much about
myself. There's an easy play there, Mina. It's an easy play. You're like eight innings in, right? You're the shortstop. You're the third baseman. Everything that comes to you, you're going to botch. It's going to be an error that's going to keep the no-hitter clean. Just play terribly. That's how you're a good teammate. Play terribly so the scorekeeper has to give you an error, keeps the no-hitter going. You don't get the perfect game, but you get history.
That's actually being a good teammate. Is a better analogy for what Mina does on this show than the previous one she attempted.
Yes. Stop dumbing it down for us, Mina.
Do you question if this is an elite athlete?
Well, we're taking you out to a roller rink, which just makes me want to roller skate. You guys good roller skaters? I love roller skating.
I used to blade.
It was natural right when I first put them on. No, no blading. Four wheels. Here we go to the roller rink.
Okay.
Oh, this guy. I know
this guy. Like, you know him?
Oh, yeah.
This guy's incredible, man.
He is
so
on
good.
Skates.
Wait,
and
is
still
this
puts
did he change?
Others on skates.
Oh, this is a montage. He's wearing different outfits. Oh, my God.
This is their thing. This guy goes to skating rinks and says, I'm it, and says, try to catch me.
Wait, I love the idea that this is a game where he just is always, always the guy you gotta catch.
Whoa!
And no one can.
I also like the implication from Izzy that this man is like, is traveling across the country, going to different skating rinks like a ringer, cheating people out of their money.
He's putting together a mixtape, Mina. What else do you think he does? Of course this guy goes all around the world doing this. He's got a mixtape.
Handing people pool noodles. Like, that kid, man, the flipping of that hip. Like, his hip flipping. I mean, he's an athlete. If that was the question, yes, absolutely.
Yes.
An amazing athlete.
But I want to see him run a three cone and then get inappropriately comped to Julian Edelman. Let's go.
Oh, he's so gritty. He's so gritty.
Up next on HQ.
Mina, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued. You know what? Because I have missed this. But if the Dodgers really wanted to do him a solid, you'd think they might chip in and get him a new jacket. Or maybe he brought an extra in cake. In case of emergency. What, Pablo, too cheesy for you?
Yeah, that's what we're seeing. That's all I have.
This is what I don't miss about the fans being back.
Tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, Warriors and Cavs.
It was the most infuriating sports decision of all yesterday. Steph Curry's going off. His coach Steve Kerr in the fourth quarter says, no, you sit down. Let's look at this. That's his 11th three, by the way. That's three short of his teammate Klay Thompson's all-time record. Okay. And what does his coach do? Not allow him to go in.
No.
They are one game under 500, guys. The Warriors are one game under 500. They are not setting any records this year. They're not winning any championships this year. That dude brings so much joy to the basketball court. Just let him play in the fourth quarter. Let him take a few more shots, please, please. At least until you're like six or seven games over 500. How about that, Steve? That sound that came out of my mouth was supposed to be, Mina, are you intrigued?
Yes, I am intrigued both by the burping sound and by Steph Curry. Steph Curry right now is must-watch TV. He belongs in the MVP conversation, so much so that I would watch a Warriors-Cavs game at 8 p.m. on a Thursday.
8 p.m.? That's late? Pablo,
it's 5 on my time, yeah.
Yeah, realistically, I'm not going to watch this game, but I do like the idea that Klay Thompson is just quietly fist pumping, like, yes, still got it. 14. Eat that.
Tonight at 10:10 p.m. Eastern, Rockies and Dodgers.
Well, I'm not very intrigued by this, but Justin Turner, still a good Dodgers player, still a good hitter, can hit home runs, but now, with fans back, he can hit them into their food.
Yeah, I've missed fan home run dynamics. That's a good swing.
All right. So let's see what happens.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
The classic nacho explosion. Oh, no.
Yes.
No, not in the time of COVID. Don't do it. Mina, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued. You know what? Because I have missed this. But if the Dodgers really wanted to do him a solid, you'd think they might chip in and get him a new jacket. Or maybe he brought an extra in cake. In queso emergency. What, Pablo, too cheesy for you?
Yeah, that's what we're seeing. That's all I have.
This is what I miss about the fans being back. Pablo, are you intrigued?
No, Vitas took the cheesy pun I was going to make and made 50 other ones. So no on all counts.
Oh, cheddar luck next time, Pablo.
Okay.
Izzy,
she's a monster.
Izzy, she's a monster. Snacho brand of humor.
That's the show for today. I've got some heavy reading to do. Mina, I know you've already read it all. Pablo, you've already read it all, so go do what you gotta do. I don't really do the promotions things when I end, but you guys know what you're on.
Okay, yeah.
Waiting for the promo.
Just waiting for the promo, but
spoken like someone who doesn't have a podcast.